All right, we're recording. Sam is spilling the tea about his days as a Hollywood delivery guy.
Jordan, you've heard this story before. I'll just retell it for the listener.
I can't wait. You were delivering cocaine to Bob Newhart's place.
I wish. That would have been such a fun night.
Bob Newhart.
But hot off the Oscars. I was delivering groceries to Kristen Stewart, and it's like impossible to get to her house, like in the Hollywood Hills. Like it was like a labyrinthian series of doors and codes and stuff. Yep. It genuinely took like a ton of time. And then,
to get to Kristen Stewart's house, you have to. There are two doors, and one always tells the truth, and one always lies. And then is the ravine of mirrors.
When I finally delivered her groceries, and it was like also like the dead, like you know, like 11 p.m. or something. And she came, and she came to the door, did not say a word, and then on the receipt where you give add a tip, and it was like a ton of groceries, she just wrote the word no, which is a very funny burn.
Ooh. So insane.
Just no tip for you, huh?
Yeah.
work harder. Be in more movies if you need money. Yeah.
I delivered Cafe Gratitude, like.
I know Cafe Gratitude. Yeah, I used to deliver them too.
$230 worth of food and juice to Zac Efron.
Hey, that's one day for him.
And I would say he was very charming. He was like, it was like a human puppy opened the door. Like he literally was wearing socks and the door was made of glass. And he slid to the door like,
"Get the fuck out of here!"
And then opened the door and went, "Whoa, that's a lot of juice, dude!"
Having the time of his life.
But what was really funny is like, I didn't know it was Zac Efron because he uses a fake name because he's so famous. And his house,
Jack Teflon.
So driving up to his house was really confusing because it was like. There was it was a big Hollywood driveway in the hills, and like in the driveway was a single Tesla and then like a museum's worth of vintage workout equipment, just like medicine balls and like a 70s exercise bike that like your mom would ride on. And then like his house is all glass, and looking into his living room, he had two pieces of art that were gigantic. Like the site took up entire walls, and one was a pop art painting of Bruce Lee holding nunchucks. And the other wall, on the opposite wall, was a pop art painting of Heath Ledger's Joker.
Oh yeah, that's the stuff. And hell, that's kind of what. Kind of what Zac Efron is, kind of a blend of those two characters.
Yeah, it was essentially like if the dumbest guy who lived on your college dorm floor was a like a millionaire.
Mm-hmm. Buck Wild. Yeah. Did he tip you?
Yo, that's what he tipped a lot. Yeah.
See, I knew Efron wouldn't let you down. Folks, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights in the very real island where they take place. My name's Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And coming back to the pod, Fight Island survivors, Joey Devine and Sean Keen are here from Roundball Rock. What up?
I'm so excited to be here. I love Fight Island.
I'm so excited you guys are back because we're doing something very interesting this month. We're doing, well, last month and spilling into this month. We're doing March Mad Men.
Oh!
Yeah. It is a month of Mad Men, in one instance, Mat Men. And it was a bunch of puns and wordplay based on angry men and things of this nature, developed by Sam, a known pun hater.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So it was hard for him. He spent a week in the pun mines. He came back covered in blood. It was terrifying. But we're finally down to it. This week, we're going to do it. We are hereby fighting the members, the crew, the cast of Mad Men, the show. This is the episode,
so
y'all.
So who is the winner of the Mad Men taking on in the final four?
So the winner of Mat Men was Matt Damon. He was kind of like the chalk. He's like the Kansas of this whole bracket. The Mats weren't very competitive. Then we had like pretty upset filled the other brackets. I think Bobby Boucher is our Mad Men as an angry winner. And then I think who was the other one?
Our Matt as in crazy person.
Matt
was...
as in crazy is Norman Bates.
Norman Bates great. Of Psycho. Yeah.
But Norman Bates was like a seven seed because he's like kind of a weakling, but it was like, oh, right. Like,
then it came to
he out crazies everyone.
Yeah, it came to pass that he was the craziest not in the jar as far as as long as we're getting canceled for ableism over here. let's go ahead and jump into the water.
It came out.
What did you use his? Did you use Norman Bates' pronouns correctly in that?
I can only imagine. I am imagining. Yeah, that's a minefield right there, huh, Norman Bates? I do think that, like, I'm imagining the type of person who comes forward and they're like, now hang on, Norman Bates, I have a lot of sympathy for this guy.
I too love mommy.
Growing up in my spooky motel, I didn't have a lot of role models.
But shout out mental health. I take pills every day that stop me from killing all of you all the time. Okay, so we're doing Mad Men. We have we've been doing this a little bit different for anybody just joining the show, any Joey or Sean heads. The way that this normally goes down is, I guess it would be the Round Ball Rock Squad. Do we have something?
Well,
we
call
like
them the
out?
Round Ball Rock What the Fuckers.
So the Round Ball Rock What the Fuckers just showing up to the squad to the show. This is what goes down. It's a big game of who would win in a fight between. We normally do three rounds, light, heavy, and middleweight, based on a topic. This is the end of a long-standing bracket, which you'll see. It is anything goes, video game rules, as we call it, which just means old people can fight, gay people, men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever needs to happen in order for the island to taste the justice. The justice to taste the island that it so richly craves.
Hey, sometimes justice tastes the island. And
hey,
it's...
sometimes, yeah. Look, the pills, the non-murder pills have side effects. but this is a bracket system, and I'll pass it over to Sam to tell us how the bracket's going to work today.
So for March Mad Men, we had four quadrants, 1 through 8, seeded like you'd seed, any tournament. With what we perceive as the strongest as the number one and the weakest as the number eight. And we will go through a first 1 through 8 first round and then have two matchups and then finally one matchup. And the winner will go to the March Mad Men Final Four to possibly face Bobby Boucher. We have not decided yet what the ultimate seeding is like or what regions matter because the physical geography does not exist. So our first matchup is the number one seed, Don Draper, the mad man himself, the guy from The Thing.
He's the maddest man of them all.
Versus number eight, Bert Cooper.
Ooh.
Mm. Now, who's Bert Cooper? I've never seen the show. I've never watched television.
He's the Cooper in Sterling Cooper, played by
like a crazy old
Robert Morse. Yeah, he's a famous musical theater music man star, Robert Morse.
Is he the guy with the white hair? Bit of a Silver Fox situation?
No, that's Roger Sterling, the other partner.
Yeah,
this
there's
guy
a
has
handsome
a beard.
White hair and a big white hair.
Okay, I'm looking him up right now.
He's you're not allowed to wear shoes in his office. Mm-hmm. He has like expensive modern art.
Oh yeah, okay, yes. I remember seeing an episode where I lied about that, never having seen a thing. But I remember seeing one where he shows up and he's a bit of a buffoon.
Yeah,
right?
He has like he's like New York Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
He's an eccentric, and he was partners with Roger Sterling's dad.
Okay,
initially.
bit of a Mr. Magorium, if you will.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Famous pop culture character,
and Mad Men character is horny. He's like the asexual one.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Thank God.
He might be
he's
a
like
germaphobe too.
Yeah.
He is so Colonel Sandersy, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does refresh my memory. And also, this is going to be chock full of spoilers if you haven't watched this show from 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pause, go watch it all.
Does Bert Cooper die in the series?
Yeah,
Sean,
I think in
remember?
Like season 5.
Yeah.
And they actually do a musical number when he dies.
Oh, wow.
But yes, it's like okay. a dream sequence. This guy died. But he just kind of dies. He's not like, he's not like murdered or anything.
Did he do that, did he do that thing that actors sometimes do? It's so unprofessional, where he died in real life.
No, I think he's still alive. I mean, he's pretty old, that's but I the, think he's...
That's the crazy thing about movies. It's like video games, right? Or like movies and TVs. Uh-huh. If you die in real life, you die in...
You know, I guess that's true of video games, too. Like, if you die... Technically, if you die in real life, you're never going to play that game again. Yeah. So you die in the video game, too.
So he is still going strong at age 90.
Holy shit, wow. Great work.
But
man.
Yeah,
that's
you can absolutely tell if you have seen The Music Man or How to Succeed in Business, you're like, oh, I see that through line to what this guy would be like when he's 80. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's actually like the Matthew Broderick of his time, I would say.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, so he killed somebody in Ireland?
He killed much more people, yeah. He did it with a lawnmower, though. Now, brutal.
Broderick was it on last episode of when we fought Matt men named Matt or Matthew.
Uh-huh. Matthew Broderick, I would say, even though he was probably the only Matt who was a real life murderer, not as strong as he.
Yeah. He got
crushed. Yeah.
Yeah, it crushed it was not good for him. That murder, you know, some murders turn you into a monster. That one, he died that day too. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Okay, that's, is there, I mean, this, because it seems from a distance, you know, forgive me, but it seems like Bertram Cooper is going to get his ass whooped.
I mean, he has a cane. That's the only thing that I can imagine that on Fight Island that might be transformed into more of a, like, spy cane with gas and a blade.
I think he absolutely as soon as
so that gives him a little bit, and he's probably crafty. Like he probably has like some kind of like deep
this
musical
is like
theater
a real
moves.
Batman versus the Penguin matchup.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Truly.
And he's like
Batman versus Penguin vibes, big time. Yeah. You know, as soon as this fight starts, he clicks the handle of that cane for the first time, and a long, slender blade comes out of it.
But at the same time, it's still like Batman versus the Penguin is kind of never a physical matchup.
That's
exactly
true.
Like there's got to be like a circus team or birds
Penguin's
or something.
Penguin's got a plan now. But Bertram doesn't seem like he would. He doesn't seem like he could outthink Don
Well,
Draper.
He also doesn't like to touch people.
Well, Don Draper's an idiot. That's an important thing to know about Mad Men is like. He's really good at coming up with shitty ideas, but
he's a simpleton.
But yeah,
he's a simple man.
He's both an idiot and also like kind of, I would say, inactive just in general throughout the entire show.
Sure.
Like
he's like the ultimate lead character of the 50s, right? He's just like a successful white man.
But
he's going to be very drunk at this fight,
right, but
too.
He's also like not tough or decisive. Like, I actually think Don Draper is kind of a weak one seed, frankly.
Shit.
Like, he looks the part, and that's, like, the point of Mad Men, right? Is, like, Don Draper looks the part, but he's, like, a slow-moving moron drunk. Yeah.
Boy, they were so drunk.
So here's what I think happens on the fight. We got a lot of cane action. Draper's drinking during the fight, for one thing.
And I don't care who you are. A sword comes out of a cane. That's going to take you back.
Yeah. And, you know, he's fighting him off with various bottles of, like, whiskey. He throws a martini in Bert Cooper's face. And he absorbs the damage. And then when he gets cut a couple times, he just starts giving a sales pitch for Bertrand Cooper's murder. And it kind of doesn't make any sense and it's bullshit, but it just mesmerizes him. And he's like, he just explains that, you know, this is a bottomless pit. You're falling into the pit. And then he says Kodak. And Bertram Cooper has fallen into a bottomless pit, and it's
and
over.
Bertram Cooper turns the blade
that's
on
hard
himself.
To disagree with.
Yeah, and with then and then when he's in the face. Pit, he's covered in bullshit. Just so much bullshit covers him that he suffocates. That's
good. Yeah, I would say the only chance Bert Cooper has to win is if somehow the island, like the Lost Island, somehow creates like a woman Don Draper wants to fuck.
Interesting. Now there is an audience full of women here that are probably, you know, both women from Fight Island and Don Draper's personal entourage.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, is there a chance that? See, I Sean, that was beautiful right there. That is exactly what I think goes down. I think that Bertram is like, you know, he's happy to be strutting the boards again. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing it. And this life wells up within him in this kind of display of chivalry. No, what swashbucklery. And then, you know what he can, but he can't. Nobody can outsell Don. You know, and he sells him his own murder. That's incredible.
Well,
but,
I also think.
But is there a chance that he could see a lady and get?
Well, I also want to ask, which Don Draper is this? Is it peace and love Coca-Cola Don Draper? Because if then Bert Cooper's gonna murder him, right?
Yeah. Although that does technically only exist for like 30 seconds of the seven season show.
I think it's peak Draper. Per island rules, it kind of plucks you at your.
All right, then it's
prime.
Definitely Sean nailed it. That's
I think
exactly what's gonna happen.
I think the only argument is that Bert Cooper like has dirt on Don. He's like the only character that knows.
Oh yeah,
his Dick Whitman background. Mm. But even more incentive for Don to rub him out.
Yeah,
keep that secret buried. If we're talking season two, Don, it's like, yeah, I'll kill this guy so he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you got me sold on season two just saying that. What happened with Dick Whitman? Let's watch to find out. It sounds like Don Draper, the number one seed, is going to take this one. He's got my vote.
Okay, yeah, I'm also voting Don.
Yeah, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Don moves on. Moves Don.
All right, we're going to go to the southern part of the bracket.
Okay.
Southern and just in my mind.
It's kind of a country up there, huh?
It's the number two seed, Peggy.
Uh-huh.
Versus the number seven seed, which I wanted to include some more minor characters. Mm-hmm. It is Harry, Ken, and Paul have become a hydra of like young admin who are dorks.
Incredible.
And they are three-headed, and it is helpful that they are three-headed, and it is also harmful that they are three-headed, because they do not agree, really, and they do not really move in concert. But there is kind of three of them, and they kind of have, in my head, like, Goro arms coming out the side of them and three heads.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, do they breathe fire?
No, they just, like, have, like, witticisms, and they, like, some of them write
the
short stories. Yeah.
The Ken head can tell if he's being lied to, like in the game L.A. Noir.
Yeah, well, can I give you some personal characteristics of these people that might matter?
Yes.
Ken Cosgrove, very handsome, published author in short stories, loses his eye.
Yeah, is he,
when
does he
he's
have
sales
two eyes
pitching.
Or one?
He only has one eye.
No, I mean,
on Fight Island.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is a trademark. He has one eye.
Okay. Yeah,
he's forced it because auto executives make him drive with his while covering his eyes.
What?
And then he loses an eye. Yeah.
In a crash?
Yes. And
wow.
Paul becomes like, he's the madman who wants to be like a beatnik. He grows a beard. He has an African-American girlfriend at one point. And then he eventually joins like a Hare Krishna cult.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like drops out. And then Harry is a dick, but he's in charge of television advertising. I don't know what his signature is, like glasses and a bow tie, I think.
Being a dick?
He seems like he's morally like the worst. For some reason.
Yeah,
but in a non-specific way.
Well,
I
will say,
like, once they get into the 60s, he wears an ascot a lot.
Uh-huh.
Unforgivable.
He's kind of like a William F. Buckley type in my mind.
Yes.
Like, just like a proto-gross, rich, like, fancy lad Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, this sounds like a truly loathsome Hydra, but I will say five eyes. That's gonna affect. Is it gonna affect its?
He's also the other thing about Harry Crane is he tried to pay prostitutes using traveler's checks at one point. That's very
He did a Jerry Springer.
No, because Jerry Springer wrote a personal check when he was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Gerald, you bingus.
And again, the actor who plays Harry. Sorry, Ken. The actor who plays Ken as a Twitch streamer. You know him as the star of the video game L.A. Noir. Rockstar's L.A. Noir. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, boy. That video of, like, the dude doing the VR and, like, just trying to interact with, like, computer intelligences in a human way is so funny. It's so funny. Anyway, okay. So, but can this, I mean... I will say, if anything could defeat Peggy, it would be
three misogynists.
This misogyny Goro that you've kind of built here, and for some reason in my mind, it's kind of wearing one of those.
It's like
caveman
the three types
overalls
of misogynists too, like a fake ally.
Harry's a wife guy who's also promiscuous.
Yeah.
The 50s triad.
Paul is like a kind of like a worthless fuck boy. You know what I mean? Like he feels like a modern character in that way where he's almost like Mad Men's version of AJ Soprano in that every terrible trend that happens at the time, he is 100% in on. Like if Mad Men were set like 40 years later, he would be like showing up with eyeliner and like a new metal t-shirt on. They'd be like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm living my truth.
Yeah, I'd watch the fuck out of that show. Just saying. Hey, listen, TV, I know you're listening. I would watch that. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody wants to see Peggy lose. Is there a single way? Is there a way that these guys can overcome her? Because she's kind of, as I understand it, one of the big winners of the series.
She's fierce. Right? She's crafty.
She's clearly smarter than them.
Yeah. So here's what I'm imagining is the only way to stop Peggy. Well, this is an island, Fight Island, right?
Sure.
Okay, so these three-headed Hydras, just with they're drinking so much alcohol, I think that these guys can breathe fire. Like, the proof is so absolutely high, it's like a seven martini lunch. They take that sand, and by breathing fire, they create the only thing that can stop Peggy, and that is a glass ceiling. And they enclose her in the glass ceiling, and she's gotta fight through it, or she's gonna suffocate.
Boy,
just like her career.
Here's the thing. She would have to, like, the thing is, the way that they would make that glass ceiling above her is she would almost have to be below the sand, which we know that she's willing to dig down to get dirty.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I would also say she probably is like 7 inches shorter than the man whichever body these three heads are on.
But I mean, imagine, you know, if Peggy is always one step ahead of them, she's going to be three steps ahead of this creep on Fight Island. You know, she's going to be, I think she digs the pit and they make the glass ceiling and they're like, gotcha, sweetheart. Yeah. And then they go out to like gloat on it. And it turns out she's behind them wearing the invisibility suit from Invisible Man, pushes them into the glass ceiling and shatters down upon them, burying them in the
jaguar trap.
I also think that once they're standing on the glass ceiling, it's going to remind them too much of a highball glass and they're going to cover it with ice and whiskey, melting the glass ceiling and falling into the pit too.
It.
I think Peggy's just too aware of their faults too. Like Peggy is well versed in the kinds of fuck boys that they all are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And knows how to set traps for them and
I would say the other difference is that Peggy's one of the only people that actually works a 40-hour week on the show. Yeah. And they're just gonna get exhausted at not having a break every 10 minutes for snacks and drinks.
I think about that all the time with Mad Men, how tired you'd be all the time if you got shithouse drunk at 1 p.m. every day and then had to, like, commute home. Like,
they always
so
take
mad.
Naps on their couch, like, constantly. Yeah. It's, it rocks. I wish
and
that,
was like that. And then you would, like, but then you would do it all the next day, so it wouldn't matter. The thing is, you would be getting shit-faced by 1 p.m., for 25 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you had to because it was part of work.
Yeah.
And that's why everyone went to bed at 9 p.m.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see Peggy fall into these three lunks. Every one of them, she can kind of football move her way around, I think. I'm giving this one to Peggy.
Yeah. I gotta vote Peggy for the first round, too. I just don't see an upset here.
And, you know, also the fact that she is on Fight Island means that she's close to the Sea Org. And Elizabeth Smough does have the power of the Church of Scientology behind her.
Yeah.
Shit, that's right.
If she can summon invisible man powers, she can also summon Scientology powers.
You see that dot out on the horizon? Yeah, that's terrifying. Boy, I didn't even think of that. Okay, well, it looks like noted Scientologist Elizabeth Moss takes this one, aka Peggy Olson. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, we're gonna stay in the southern region here. Number three, Betty Draper, all psychology and anger. Drapes. Versus number six, a war vet, Roger Sterling.
He hates the Japanese.
Yeah, he does hate the Japanese. I think this is our first upset. I think Betty Draper tries to, like, psychologize Roger Sterling, but he's too crazy and not like a person to actually be able to guess. Yeah. Like, he does the opposite of what a human should do at any moment. So, like, he's falling down and he's flailing the entire fight, but she can't predict his next move because he's like Mad Men's Joker in a way.
It's a wild card.
Well, and the important thing is that her powers of persuasion seem like they would require Roger Sterling to listen to something a woman said.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's, that's his big ace in the hole.
So
Betty Draper she'll burn you with a cigarette, right? She's like, If she gets up in there, she's a nasty piece of work.
Yes.
Is Sterling that? Will he, like, you know, stab you with a fork? Will he?
I think he's ruthless.
And his dad left him a lot of silver spoons and silver forks, so he does have a lot of stuff like that. Now, here's the scenario where I think Betty Draper can do it. So she has, her powers are cigarettes, passive aggression, which probably is not as effective on Fight Island, but also she's a mesomorph. She can become very skinny and very large and very skinny and very large. I still think Sterling's going to have her on the ropes, like just like gin glasses, martini glasses. He just has the power of, you know, the partnership. And also he's his whole appeal is that he has their most lucrative client, the Lucky Strikes account. Mm-hmm. And so her cigarette powers are not, he's got a carton of flaming cigarettes.
Yeah. Holy moly.
The only chance she has is to summon one of the weirdest characters on Mad Men, played by creator Matthew Weiner's son. It is Glenn, the creepy neighbor boy who has a psychosexual relationship with her. I would say one of Mad Men's two true sociopaths is there. Wow. So her only chance is that Glenn emerges white knighting and attacking Roger Sterling.
Unfortunately,
I think he is still a child, and that might not do it.
Sean, you swayed me with Glenn powers. I think that's like a real. If she throws a Glenn bomb, like it's like in Street Fighter, if she gets to like her, she can use her power up move.
Sure.
It's the Glenn. X-Men. Does she get there with like just using her like kind of lame like leg sweeps and cigarette burns and like passive aggressive sonic boom? It like if she can get to Glenn, then I'm voting for Betty.
See, yeah,
she
just... I actually think there's a counter to Glenn though, and that is
let's have it.
Okay, so if if Peggy can summon Scientology, right? Uh-huh. We have to. Uh-huh. Betty also has some January Jones powers, and ooh, I think she's mistakenly going to summon professional chef Bobby Flay, who she famously had an affair with.
She had an affair with Bobby Flay?
You don't know this story?
Oh my
Bobby
God.
Bobby Flay left his own anniversary party. It might have even been the birth of his child to go help her when her car broke down. And that came out in his very famous what? Divorce. And he was like, no, we were just friends. We just met the night before. Which is such a lie. Anyway, I think narcissist celebrity chef Bobby Flay, she summons him and Glenn, and they start fighting each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
I like that.
Yeah, and then Roger Sterling beats Betty Draper.
Hilarious. Holy shit. My God.
Yeah.
What are we at here, fellas? What are the votes looking
like? I guess I have one vote. I think it feels like Roger, but I'm going to do a dissenting vote just so it's closer with Betty and Glenn.
I'm taking Roger.
Roger.
I think I'm taking Roger just because Glenn is such a wild card, but yeah. I think Roger just I think his imperviousness to the passive aggressive stuff. Yeah. He would just try to hand her divorce papers, right? And that would send her reeling, I think.
Yeah. And that's another thing. He's not married to her, and he would probably repeatedly remind her of that.
Yeah.
I think that you guys are right. I think that he is just so such kind of an epoch of this era that nothing can change or convince him that he's not going to win this thing, and so he does. I'm giving it to Sterling. I think Sterling takes it. Ding ding ding.
All right, the final matchup of the first round. We're going back to the North region. Number four, Joan. Was number five, Pete Campbell.
Wow. I gotta say, I think if Pete can beat Joan, which is almost impossible, Pete could win the whole bracket, but I agreed. Don't know if he can beat Joan.
He's a bit of a St. Pete's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you give me, as a relative madman, neophyte, kind of the back of the baseball card on Pete and Joan?
So Pete Campbell is
a little worm man.
He's a little worm man. I would say he's the most sociopathic of the Mad Men characters. He's like a rich kid. He's very entitled. I would say he's maybe the Joffrey Baratheon of Mad Men.
Okay.
Like not quite that evil.
Sure. Who could be?
But, also the father of Peggy's child, who is given up for adoption due to an affair. He's married to Allison Brie.
Ugh, come on.
One of the most irritating characters on the show, Allison Brie's character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is torn between he really wants to be like a mountain man who hunts and everything. And then eventually his true inclination is to just like his character arc is like, why don't you just move to the Midwest and be a wife guy? And that's his graduation. Yeah. But
he feels like, wow. But like a true an adult, psycho. Yeah, he feels like an adult school shooter. Like school shootings hadn't been invented yet. He's not through to work at in advertising.
He wasn't inventive enough to come up with it.
But I think he actually has a hunting rifle in his office for some reason.
That feels pertinent.
He's another kind of proto-conservative guy, like a fake woodsy guy.
There's a certain, like, few things are more dangerous than a guy with a gun who doesn't know how to use it. He's going to be waving it around, shooting at shadows and squeaks. And
yeah,
that's dangerous business.
He does feel like a skittish fighter. Also, there's that scene where like Lane, the British guy, like beats the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like they fight in the office and Lane fights like, Queens of whatever style with
Marcus
of Queensbury. Yeah. And gives him a rap on the noggin. And it's great.
Johnson. Nice. Good.
So he can't take a punch is, I guess, my point.
Yeah. Okay. And I would say, I think Joan, of all of our people in here, Joan is, of course, the hot redheaded secretary,
mm-hmm,
who is actually the smartest person who works at Sterling Cooper.
She's running the entire office the whole time. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also the most likely in this entire bracket to know how to punch someone.
Yes.
had a long affair with Roger Sterling as well.
Okay, okay.
So we know Pete's weakness is being punched versus an actual puncher. I don't see a world where Pete Campbell gets
That's tough.
This.
Well, and the thing is, though, he can, what Pete could do is, what we might not know is before the fight, he's going around and talking to all the men on Fight Island, promising them vague favors, and getting it to the point that when the fight begins, the ring is actually locked, and okay. And it's just a boys' club in there, and he hopes to get,
she can't get in.
Once Joan gets tired out trying to just break her way in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she shows up finally, he's like, "Oh, Joni, I didn't. Nice of you to meet her."
Yeah, you could be the you could be the card girl for this. Oh, we don't really have any opportunities
for you.
We decided
to cancel the fight.
I mean, does that make her mad enough to go like Super Saiyan and she rips his head off? Is that the counter?
I think she's like, "All right, you don't want to do this within the sanctioning bodies of Fight Island. We'll do this in the street, and now it's going to be worse for you."
Yeah,
I think Joan runs away with this one. Christina Hendricks, come on. Did you know that she is famously, or not so famously, married to the guy from Super Troopers who eats all the mushrooms?
I do know that candy bars. I do know, and also they're divorced now. But I do know that because, R.I.P. speaking of delivery, I once got a delivery for Christina Hendricks. And was like, "Oh my God, what's she gonna look like in real life?" From DeSano's Pizza, shout out to Sauce, the comedy show. And I pulled up, and her weird bug-eyed husband was the one.
She looked like him.
Joey, I also delivered to them, and she came to the door, and I was speechless. I couldn't talk.
Whoa. Yeah.
She had no makeup on. She's the best looking woman I've ever seen in my life.
She's just like us.
One of my first tasks in my first real Hollywood job was to help recruit her to do our sitcom for Scale. But she did it. Nice. The shooting schedule was really insane because of that, though. They shot that show in such a crazy order. And eventually we had to kill off David Wayne in the second episode because he got to direct that Wet Hot American show for Netflix.
Holy shit. Wow. Yeah. Hysterical.
Tomahawk to the chest.
Fucking hell. I'm giving my vote's going to Joan on this one.
I'm also voting Joan. Joan by a mile. Because again, I think this is just a bad matchup because I think
you
could take Peggy and Roger and Bert. I think you could take anybody but Dawn in this bracket or Joan.
Yeah, but a lot of his plans are not very successful too. So sure. I think he would also be really way too overconfident, and then he just gets a stiletto to the throat.
Okay, but I do want to say, does he have the power to turn into a worm and get stepped on?
Well, he'll be too turned on to fight if that happens. Yeah. Like that's...
Boy, yeah, so would I.
So, yeah, I think Joan is moving on here.
Joan's gonna take it for this one, I think, fellas. Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Excellent. All right, so... Now we
brings
are moving...
us to the back end of the bracket, fellas.
Round two, number two Peggy versus number six Roger.
So here's something I think that Peggy has, and because I assume this bracket is taking place on kind of a timeless thing, but I believe that one thing that Peggy's going to have is the power of cancellation. And because she kind of used that on Fred Armisen, she's got this experience with The Handmaid's Tale now under her belt as well. And Roger Sterling is not only just a misogynist, he's also really racist. He puts on blackface in that one episode. And Peggy Olson, during that same episode, is smoking weed. And I just feel like the rallying powers of society are like, I just think the cancellation, he's going to actually be hit by a series of physical hashtags about the head. Right? Like just these, yeah, these pound signs just pounding into him.
Yeah, the hashtag gun. It's, and he's got a fucking megaton of a cancellation coming.
Oh,
he was,
yeah,
bad. He was bad for the 50s. Mm-hmm. The 50s.
See, I think this is an interesting matchup because I don't think Roger Sterling even ever acknowledges that Peggy ever exists at any moment.
Yeah. But wouldn't that make her more dangerous, almost a la the Invisible Man?
No, see, I think it's the opposite, where it's just like, if there's no acknowledgement, it's like she doesn't even exist. You know what I mean? It's like it's like Tinkerbell. The audience isn't clapping for her when she's dying.
You think so? It's almost like Sterling's. He is such a mind, such a ego freak that he can affect reality.
Yes, exactly.
With his, he can be like, "You're nothing," and she goes to punch him, and it just like goes right through him.
Because he, like...
Well, she's not a woman he wants to have sex with.
Exactly.
Specifically.
She's got nothing he wants. Holy shit.
And real, in a show filled with, like, misogyny and, like, the roots of all that stuff, it's like he is kind of the king of that power.
Yeah.
But really going to help him in this fight. One?
Isn't she... Wouldn't she be, like, the survivor girl to topple...
Yeah, is she the final girl of all this?
The final girl? Yeah, she's got big final girl vibes.
She does have big final girl vibes.
I actually think that what happens in this one is Roger Sterling comes out swinging pretty hard. But unfortunately, Peggy has gotten him to put down 6 or 7 martinis before the fight. Because they can expense it. Even on Fight Island,
he's drinking vodka and milk. That's his weird tick.
And so what she's able to do is physically summon an impossible corporate ladder, and just climbs it ahead of Roger Sterling. And as he climbs up, just like an episode where Don Draper pays the elevator guy to shut it down, so Roger has to climb stairs, he's just going to end up just vomiting off that ladder. And I think she's going to be able to push him over because she's actually wearing a sensible pair of shoes she's not really a sex object in the office. Like, with the heels, she'd have no chance on that ladder. But because she's sort of become one of the boys, she's able to topple him.
And you know what those sensible shoes are good for? Stepping on people on your way up.
Yeah.
Interesting. Boy, that's going to be hard to counter. Sam, what do you think?
I think Sean brings up a good point, is that Roger is, he can be manipulated by like physical things. He's like too, like Joey's point that he can like, he's a little Michael Myers, like tunnel vision-y. Like he can be physically harmed. He can be burned. He can be exhausted by walking upstairs. All that smoking and drinking has got to hamper him in some way. And Peggy is probably the one. Peggy and Joan are the two smart enough people in the bracket, and Don, I guess, because it happened in the show, to exhaust him through some kind of contraption or plot. So I think I'm pretty convinced now that it's Peggy.
I think it's got to be Peggy.
See, I'm voting Roger only because I want to set up a Roger versus Joan fight where Roger actually just sacrifices himself to Joan because she's the only person that he loves in the entire world. But that's fair. It's fair that Peggy's moving on. Yeah. I'm just
Sean,
trying to
manipulate
the bracket to get Roger versus Joan.
I get it. I understand. I wanted to see that too.
I'm picking Peggy because I also think she might be able to convince Roger to take LSD during the fight. And I think that's.
It was. You already took it, Roger. It was in one of the many milk and vodkas.
Drinking a lot of milk, that guy.
Fucking grody. What? Who was it? The guy who wrote Half Asleep in Frog Pajamas. Oh, shit. Anyway, he drinks gin greasies, which is gin with mayonnaise. Tom Robbins.
Greasy?
Gin greasy.
No, thank you.
Wow.
Just wasted at 1 p.m. in your fucking blackberry patch on mayonnaise and gin.
I guess we understand why cowgirls got the blues, right, guys?
Okay, number. Okay, and then our other final four matchup for this part of the bracket: number one Don versus number four Joan.
Don Joan.
All right, I'm gonna say number one Don. To me, is like a Gonzaga style one seed.
Yeah, he's a weak
looks
one.
Like a one seed. Like there's sure. This is no contest. I think the Joan paper is taking tiger, Don out here,
if you will.
I mean, I think it's a slugfest. Like this is two heavyweights. These people are throwing haymakers.
Yeah.
The whole time.
They both hit.
They're the two most like actual like feels like from working class backgrounds of the whole show.
Slugginess.
That is true. They're pretty ruthless, I think.
They are pretty ruthless. And let me throw this out. Would Don's kind of twisted sense of chivalry cause him to, like, clearly he would have no problem fighting Joan, but would it cause him to, like, pull his punches?
No, Don hates women, dude.
But that's also... Okay. This is a unique situation where Joan appears to be the only woman on the show that Don hasn't even really thought about having sex with. Mm-hmm. And that includes Peggy, where it's like, it feels like it could be close there. I don't know if it's that she's Roger's girlfriend or that there's something, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's too good, maybe. Don will sleep with any secretary, but not her, not the head of the secretaries. But also, I think she kind of knows all his secrets, too.
Here's what I think is going to happen here. I think Peggy is going to have called all of Don's ex-lovers and they're going to appear and beat the shit out of him. He's going to get zooby-zooed all over his dying corpse.
So this is going to be Don Draper's power move, and I just don't know if he's going to have the energy for it. It's there's an episode where he's trying to get... God, what is the guy's name? The spokesman for Jimmy, the spokesman for Utz Chips.
I love Utz, just as an aside.
And they try to, his Jimmy's wife / manager tries to negotiate a deal. And Don actually finger bangs his way into a favorable contract terms. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be able to do that against the entire power of the Steno pool? Various like downtown hipster girls. I mean, he just,
if anyone could.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's maybe too many women for him to face off against.
Joan's amassed an army.
I think
kind of what, go ahead, Sean.
Oh no, I just think that his war experience is not going to help him. It's eventually going to come out that he just doesn't know how to do anything except have sex and like bullshit people.
I think
it's gonna end up being like more of a mass gender battle. It's like Avengers Assemble, but it's wronged women coming out of
portals. Are gonna open and Don is gonna be shocked when his own daughter steps out of that.
Yes.
Yeah, and all those women no longer respect him, and he's gonna have a lot of trouble.
I think it,
just with that, not even the it's an ego death more than a physical death.
Yes, I can see the shot. I can see the whole thing. They have this whole knockdown drag out fight where he's like. You know, tries to do that shitty thing where he's like, oh, I'm not gonna fight a lady. And it's just like, and she's like, fuck you. And it's like on, and they're fighting. And he's like, just fucking punch after punch. And as he's holding her by the like scruff of her shirt, he looks into the audience and the lights, like his eyes adjust to the darkness. And who's sitting in the seats?
Oh.
It's all of these women that he's wronged.
And he tries to throw stuff out like, you've come a long way, baby. And he's like, come on, that's a slogan you like.
And he staggers, and he's like, all of a sudden, you know, he's not this big, strong guy he pretends to be. He's this fucking, this asshole. And all of these people know what an asshole he is, and I think it saps him. I think he does have that psychological moment where he kind of sees himself. And I think it's in that moment that Joan strikes and takes him down. I think Joan takes this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Joan. It's Fight Island. I think Joan, as many people at Sterling Cooper, has been waiting for this moment to get a shot at killing Don Draper.
I think it's she kills him. A hairpin right to the eye.
Okay, she kills him.
She absolutely kills him.
Joan kills Don Draper. Ding, ding, ding. Joan's moving on. Or maybe just gives him one eye, like the guy from the Hydra.
Yeah.
And then he has a third name in life, as sort of a Captain Ron type.
You know, if we did, I would watch that too. Fuck, make it in the 80s.
John Hamm Captain Ron remake is kind of
totally.
I would totally watch that.
Well, yeah, he's like Captain Ron, and I feel like he eventually starts to mentor a group of BMX bikers, and the show's called Rad Men.
I was gonna go with Ron Hamm. I also like the idea of, if we had more time, he would get stabbed in the eye with the hat pin and then his third eye would open because of the psychedelics and blast her with a laser, you know, showing his full, but nope, he died, hat pin in the eye. Joan wins. Okay, what do we got, Sam?
Okay, the final matchup. It is the two best women characters on the show, Peggy versus Joan.
Joan v. Peggy. I was hoping it would come down to this, because mm-hmm. this is a good matchup.
I don't think Peggy's got it here, because she got here by just being smarter than everyone else, and this is the one person she's not smarter than. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have the physical advantage here.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's small. She's small compared to Joan.
She's really small.
Okay, so here's what I think happens in this one. Joey, I'm with you here. Because what she's going to start doing to Joan is her special mutant power that comes out in the Fight Island final is the speed pitch. She can physically manifest ideas, winding them up and pitching and pitching and pitching and pitching. And, you know, that's going to overwhelm Joan a little bit. But the problem is, all these ideas aren't polished. You know, some of the pitches are veering off.
Yeah.
And who's good? Who's focused? Who cleans things up and makes things direct? It's Joan, because eventually Peggy's going to slow down, and she's arrogant because she thinks she's better than the secretary. But then Joan comes out with the staple gun. She comes out with the mimeograph machine. You know, she's handling five phones at once. Each one's a live line. Each one's wrapping around Peggy's
absolutely
neck.
I think even she can, like, she answers a phone and she just says, like, right cross, and a punch comes from nowhere. Oh, roundhouse kick, and a kick comes from nowhere.
Also think Joan has started a rumor in the office, a bad rumor, because that Peggy is the only character that a rumor would bother on all of Mad Men. And it's like really thrown her off her game.
And Joan thrives in this shit. Peggy is this character who, like, rises above and succeeds in spite of or regardless
of the bullshit.
Where
Joan is like
bullshit,
a master manipulator.
Where
Joan
has become the bullshit. Yeah. Joan is the Magneto of this shit.
Well, and I think Peggy's reeling on her feet. She's trying to call in the Sea Org. She's like, she's got her sensible shoes off. She's trying to throw like a whiskey bottle because she gets to drink it or test too. And at the end, Joan just pricks out the one thing that Peggy was never able to get. It's a manifestation of equity in the firm. And she just brings it down over her head and smashes her with her 10%.
It's a giant golden tablet.
And she's like, oh, generational wealth.
Oh boy, is this a clean sweep? This feels like a Joan sweep.
Hard to argue. Yeah, I'm going with Joan.
Wow, Joan, ding ding ding. The maddest man is indeed the maddest woman. Joan takes it for this episode. We'll see what happens. when we finally have
Joan's
a final
kick
four
the shit out of Matt Damon,
as it were.
I mean, he knows Krav Maga.
She's gonna tell him that even in the 70s, you couldn't say
the F word
at the dinner table, and it's gonna blow his mind.
Is he allowed to use the magic hats from the Adjustment Bureau?
Yeah, unfortunately, he is.
The other thing is, she's gonna buy that zoo from him, and she's gonna put him behind bars.
The Damon exhibit. I'd go, honestly, if Matt Damon was at the zoo just in behind glass.
Yeah, we bought a zoo is a lot more intriguing if the zoo is full of people.
Yeah. Yeah, does he have access to the animals, Joey? What do you think?
Oh, boy. Joey, Sean, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks for having
us. On the
us.
Island. Yeah. We couldn't have tackled quite a difficult subject like this without you. Where can the people find you guys online?
Well, I would say listen to Round Ball Rock, where we just did our March Madness episodes. It was a two-part episode where we did the alumni from each college's bracket, and our final four ended up being Tony Soprano from Seton Hall versus Dr. Conrad Murray, the man who killed Michael Jackson.
From Texas Southern.
From Texas Southern. And from on the other end of the bracket, it was Hoda Kotb from the Today Show.
Uh-huh. Virginia Tech.
Yeah, versus Nancy Grace.
Wow.
Georgia State.
Yeah. So our final, I believe it actually, the poll ended today, Nancy Grace versus Dr. Conrad Murray.
Fantastic.
Get over there. The listen to Round Ball Rock. We got to see how this pans out.
At Round Rock Pod on Twitter. Joey's at Joey Devine. I'm at Sean Keen.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Follow all of those things, all those people and beyond. Sam, how about you?
As always, at Vote Sam Wiles. And if you like Fight Island, please give us some stars, some reviews.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
How about some dang old stars? You'll also get a couple episodes of extra content a month. We got we're trying to make sure that those get out at least two a month, and I think we're gonna do one right now, huh, Sam? Huh?
You got it.
Great. We're live, so you can't say no. We're just gonna start again. I'm kidding. I think that does it for. No, I'm Razor Lou on the internet. Yeah. Why don't you go look me up?
No.
Go look me up. You get to go look me up on the internet. I'm Razor Lou. I'm all over the Twitch, the Twitter, the Instagram. Find me. Please help.
Yeah,
it's frightening out there.
Give him some bits so he can be like, thank you for the bits.
Yeah.
Thank you for these bits.
Thanks,
I don't really know what they are.
Thanks for the 10 months, Dr. Strange Man.
I've got a jar of bits, and I don't know what they do. Please. I think that does it for another episode of Fight Island. Thank you so much for listening. Sam, why don't you count us down?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.